Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Web Server Administration using Web Server Administration Console. Today's presenter is Bob Richter. Bob is an advisory software engineer with WebSphere Level 2 support for IBM HTTP Server and WebSphere plugin. He previously worked in WebSphere development, where he developed some of the Web Server Administration Server features and WebSphere Application Server, and he has since moved to WebSphere Level 2 support in 2009, where he supports IBM HTTP Server and WebSphere plugin. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Bob.
Thank you, David. And with that, we'll start the presentation by going to slide 2, in which we will talk about the agenda for this presentation. The agenda for this presentation will include some terminology and an overview of the web server administration, information on specific web server administration functions, a list of methods for creating a web server definition, details on setup of the IBM administration server, operational considerations for web server administration, and some tips and troubleshooting. Please move to slide 3. There are two types of nodes in a WebSphere environment, managed and unmanaged. Web servers must be defined to a managed or an unmanaged node for web server administration. Managed nodes are unique to WebSphere application server for network deployment. Managed nodes are sometimes called federated nodes. A managed node is a node that has a node agent. Administration of the IBM HTTP server on a managed node requires the WebSphere node agent. Unmanaged nodes can be defined in WebSphere application server for network deployment or WebSphere base application server environment. The node defined to a WebSphere base application server is referred to as a standalone node. A standalone node is an unmanaged node, and an unmanaged node does not have a node agent, which is why administration of the IBM HTTP server on an unmanaged node requires the IBM administration server, which we will discuss later. Please move to slide 4. So how can you determine if a web server is defined to a managed or an unmanaged node? The easiest way would be to log into the WebSphere Administration Console, go to the Administration Console task Servers, Web Servers, and check the display version for the associated web server. For WebSphere application server for network deployment, if the version displayed is not applicable, the node is unmanaged. For a WebSphere base application server, all nodes are unmanaged nodes regardless of the version displayed. Please move to slide 5. This image shows the web server administration through a managed node and an unmanaged node in a WebSphere network deployment environment. The node on the left is managed, and the node on the right is unmanaged. The web servers in blue are administered by the deployment manager through the WebSphere administration console. The web server MBean on the deployment manager sends administration requests to either a node agent on a managed node, shown on the left, or to the IBM administration server on an unmanaged node showed on the right. Notice that the node agent and the IBM administration server run as separate processes from the IBM HTTP server. Please move to slide 6. These are the web server administrative functions that are available through the WebSphere administration console or the WSMN command line. Generation of the plugin config, propagation of the plugin config, display of the current web server status. The last three functions listed are available for the IBM HTTP server only. They're start or stop of the IBM HTTP server, view and edit of the IBM HTTP server config file, or view of the IBM HTTP server logs. Please move to slide 7. The WebSphere administration console will indicate which administration functions are available after you select a target web server or web servers. If the administration function button is not grayed out, the function is available for that web server. In the first screenshot on top, we selected a web server type IBM HTTP server called Web Server 1. Notice that all of the administrative buttons are available. In the second screenshot on the bottom, we selected a Microsoft IIS web server type called IIS Remote, in which the only available administration function button is Generate. If multiple web server types are selected, then the buttons enabled will be those functions that are common or supported for all selected web servers. Please move to slide 8. Here are some details on the Generate administration function. The Generate function is supported for all web servers. The Generate default setting in the Web Server Plugin Properties panel is auto-generate. This means that certain events, like application deployment, node sync, will automatically trigger a generate of a new plugin config XML to the deployment manager or base application server repository. Generate is necessary after any deployment activity in order that the plugin config XML is updated with new URIs, virtual hosts, or application server transports. It's important to note that generate updates the plugin config XML in the WebSphere repository. See the example of a typical path for a generated web server plugin config XML. The path is located off of the deployment manager or the application server profile, config, cells, cell name, nodes, web server node name, servers, and then your web server. Please move to slide 9. Availability of the propagate function is limited based on web server type and node type. The propagate function is supported for all web server types, IHS and non-IHS, on a managed node. The propagate function is also supported for a web server that's co-located with the WebSphere deployment manager. The propagate function is supported on unmanaged node only for web server type IHS. The propagate default setting in the web server plugin properties panel is auto-propagate. This means that when generate is triggered, the propagate is automatically triggered to the associated web server. The location of a propagated plugin config XML on the target web server is based on somewhat of a hard-coded directory path. The path is based on the plugin install root, a fixed directory name called config, and the web server name. For example, /opt, IBM, WebSphere, plugins, config, web server 1. Please move to slide 10. The status function is available for all web servers. Status is not dependent on the node agent or the IBM administration server. Status is determined by success or failure of a socket connection from the deployment manager machine to the associated web server machine. The socket connection is attempted using the web server hostname and port as defined in the server index.xml of the web server node. Statuses may be stopped, running, or unavailable. Please move to slide 11. Administration requests to start or stop the web server are only available for web server type IBM HTTP server. The function is dependent on the web server node agent running on the managed node, or it's dependent on the IBM administration server running on an unmanaged node. Please move to slide 12. You can also edit the IBM HTTP server config file or view the IBM HTTP server logs from the web server administration console. Please move to slide 13. Now, in order to exploit the web server administration functions, we must first create a web server definition in the WebSphere repository. Creation of a web server definition in the WebSphere repository requires a few key properties: a node name or web server host name, the web server install root, the plugin install root, the web server port, and the web server type. In addition to these web server properties, the creation of the web server definition on an unmanaged node may require a few IBM administration server properties. These properties are the IBM administration server port, and a username and password for authentication access to the IBM administration server. Please move to slide 14. There are multiple ways to create a web server definition in the web server repository. One, there's a script generated as a result of the web server plugin install. This method is available in WebSphere 6.1 and WebSphere 7.0. The second, there's a script generated as a result of the plugin configuration tool, PCT. The PCT tool is available as a result of installation of the WebSphere customization toolbox. This method is only available in WebSphere v8, and it replaces the script generated as a result of plugin install in WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0. The third way to create a web server definition is through the WebSphere Administration Console wizard. And the last and most difficult way to create a web server definition is through the WS admin commands. We'll discuss these in more detail in the next few slides. Please move to slide 15. The plugin install process from WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0 will generate a script or a bat file with a default name of configure web server name, where the web server name is one of the plugin install input arguments. The script will contain all the associated plugin properties captured during plugin install, and these properties are used as input arguments to create the web server definition. The script is generated to the plugin install root slash bin directory. You must execute this script or bat file from the DMGR, Deployment Manager, bin directory to create a web server definition for the WebSphere repository. The plugin install in WebSphere v8 will no longer generate this script. Please move to slide 16. In WebSphere v8, you're required to install the WebSphere Customization Toolbox, WCT, which includes the plugin configuration tool. The WebSphere Customization Toolbox, new in v8, is the only way to generate a web server definition script. The PCT replaces the function performed by the plugin install in WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0. The script is generated to the same location, the plugin install root slash bin, and the script has the same naming convention, configure web server name, where web server name is a prompt when you're executing the PCT tool. Please move to slide 17. For some screenshots on the use of the PCT tool, you can see an appendix at the end of this presentation. For details on the PCT tool, there's an entire presentation. See the WebSphere Technical Exchange presentation titled Plugin Configuration Tool PCT version 8.0. The link to this presentation is on this slide. Please move to slide 18. You may also create a web server definition using the WebSphere Administration Console, specifically the Web Server Create wizard. You can go to the WebSphere Administration Console task, Servers, Web Servers, click New, and you'll be prompted for web server properties through approximately 3 or 4 panels. Please move to slide 19. The last way to create a web server definition for the WebSphere repository is through the WS admin command line. You must start a WS admin session before invoking these commands. To start a WS admin session, type WS admin from the deployment manager or application server directory. There are two commands that will create a web server definition, $admin create web server and $admin task create web server by host name. One command, create web server, takes a node name as key input. The other command, create web server by host name, takes host name, port, and platform as key input. Both commands have an interactive option which will prompt for all command arguments. The non-interactive form of the command with its listed minimum arguments are on this panel. The reason for the two different commands is to accommodate the WebSphere network deployment and WebSphere-based application server environments. Please move to slide 20. If the web server administration is handled through a WebSphere node agent defined to a managed node, no additional setup is required. If the web server administration is handled through the IBM administration server on an unmanaged node, there is some additional configuration and setup for the IBM administration server. We'll discuss this setup in the next few slides. Please move to slide 21. The IBM administration server is installed during install of the IBM HTTP server. In WebSphere version 6.1 and 7.0, some additional setup for IBM administration server is handled by the plugin install. But in WebSphere V8, this same additional setup is handled by the PCT tool. If you step through the prompts for the plugin install in WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0, or through the prompts using the PCT tool for version 8, all the necessary setup will be handled. However, it may be helpful to know some of the details for setup of the IBM administration server to avoid some web server administration problems. The IBM administration server setup may include configuration of authentication for the IBM administration server, changes to the IBM HTTP server config file, http.com, and the IBM administration server configuration file as well, admin.com. For Unix, file permission changes and the creation of a Unix user and group may also be required. All these changes are handled by the PCT tool in WebSphere version 8 or the plugin install in WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0. Please move to slide 22. Authentication for the IBM administration server for Unix and Windows requires an update to the IBM administration server authentication file. That file is called admin.passwd. The authentication file is installed by default as an empty file, and the plugin install for version 6.1, 7.0, and the PCT tool will prompt you for the username and password to update this file for authentication. To configure authentication for the IBM administration server outside of the plugin install or PCT tool, you may execute the HT password utility using the syntax shown. The HT password utility is found in the web server bin directory, and the admin.passwd file is found in the comp directory of IHS. Please move to slide 23. Updates to the IBM HTTP server config file and creation of the plugin config XML are handled by the plugin install in version 6.1 and 7.0 or the PCT tool for version 8. The load module directive for the plugin module is added to the HTTP.com. The WebSphere plugin config directive for the plugin config XML is added to the HTTP.com. The directory for the plugin config XML is created, and the plugin config XML file itself is created and put into the directory plugin installs slash config slash web server name. Please move to slide 24. These are the Unix-only changes which are also handled through the plugin install or the PCT tool. Three changes are needed to set up the IBM administration server on Unix. We need to create a unique Unix user and group for the IBM administration server. Second, we need to update the IBM administration server config file, the admin.com, with the directors for user and group using the newly created user and group from step one. And third, the file permissions and group ownership of the HTTP.com and the plugin config XML are modified to allow group write permissions for the IBM administration server child process. The script setup ADM found in the IBM HTTP server bin directory can be run post-install to perform these steps if needed. See setup ADM-H for help. Please move to slide 25. In WebSphere version 7 and 6.1, the IBM administration server's Windows service was created at the same time that IBM HTTP server was installed and its service was created. However, in WebSphere version 8, the IBM administration server Windows service is not created unless you run the PCT tool. This is by design, but as a workaround, if you need, you may create the IBM administration server service using the Apache command listed on this slide. Note that the command is Apache-K install for installing a service, -N is your service name, and -F would be the fully qualified path to the admin.conf file. Please move to slide 26. Another difference in IBM administration server setup between WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0 and WebSphere version 8 is when and what admin.conf directives are resolved. In WebSphere 6.1 and 7.0, the directives listed on this slide are resolved at IBM HCP server install and plugin install. In WebSphere version 8, these directives will not be resolved until you run the PC2 tool. Please move to slide 27. Now, there are some operational considerations for administration of the IBM HCP server through the IBM administration server on Unix. It's recommended you start the IBM administration server as user root. The main reason is to handle start and stop requests for the IBM HCP server. The IBM administration server will fork a new process to start the IBM HTTP server. Therefore, the IBM HCP server will be started using the same user as the IBM administration server parent process. For example, an IBM administration server started from the Unix command line with user wasadm will start IBM HTTP server parent process as wasadm. So starting IBM HTTP server is dependent on how you start the IBM administration server. Keep in mind that there is a TCP limitation that prevents any process that's running as non-root to bind to a port that is less than 1024. So if you start the IBM administration server as non-root, and in turn the IBM administration server starts the IBM HTTP server, and you use the port less than 1024, the startup of the IBM HTTP server will fail. Please move to slide 28. In WebSphere 6.1, it's required that the IBM administration server be started as root. This restriction was removed for WebSphere 7.0.03 and WebSphere version 8. However, there are install and setup considerations for starting the IBM HTTP server from a non-root user to handle web server administration. You must install the IBM HTTP server as non-root, and the IBM HTTP server install images must be owned by that same non-root user. You must install the WebSphere plugin using the same non-root user. And obviously, based on the previous slide, all listen directives in the IBM HTTP server config must have a port of less than 1024. Please move to slide 29. The IBM HTTP server uses a Unix domain socket for cross-process communication between the IBM administration server child process and the parent process. This should be transparent to you, but it may be helpful to know that this Unix domain socket is necessary for IBM administration server handling of administration requests. The Unix socket file location is defined by the IBM administration server directive admin socket file in the admin.conf. The default location and the file name is logs/admin socket file. The files created at startup and after startup, the admin socket file ownership and permissions are changed to allow writes from the IBM administration server child processes. Please move to slide 30. There are some operational considerations for administering the web server through the WebSphere node agent on a managed node. Since the node agent will modify the plugin config XML and the HTTP.conf, the node agent must have write file permissions for the plugin config XML and the HTTP.conf. Since the node agent will launch the process that runs the web server, the node agent must be running user root if the web server is expected to be started as root. As stated before, if the IBM HTTP server will run with a port less than 1024, then the node agent that launches the IBM HTTP server must be started as root. Please move to slide 31. So the first tip for troubleshooting any web server administration problem is to ensure that on a managed node that the node agent is running, and for an unmanaged node, verify the IBM administration server is running. Please move to slide 32. For a problem with incorrect web server status displayed in the web server administration console, check that the port, as defined by the server index.xml endpoint, web server underscore address, matches the actual running port as defined in the listen directive in the web server configuration file. The server index.xml is located in the deployment manager or the application server repository under the web server node directory. For example, config, cells, cell name, nodes, and then the web server node name. The port is externalized through the WebSphere administration console task, servers, web servers, ports. Also, if you issue a netstat-an on the web server machine, you will see which ports are listening for the web server. Please move to slide 33. To remove possible DNS problems as a cause for incorrect status, you can perform an NS lookup on the web server host name and update the host name in the server index.xml endpoint with the actual IP address. You can update the web server host name and port in the server index.xml through the WebSphere administration console. Go to servers, web servers, click the web server name, and then click ports. In some cases, firewall rules may prevent the WebSphere administration console to connect to the web server host and port, and this will cause incorrect status. You can test connectivity from the web server deployment manager machine to the web server by issuing an HTTP request, as shown on the slide, or using the telnet command, also displayed on the slide. You might use telnet if a browser is not installed on the deployment manager machine. Please move to slide 34. There may be problems associated with start and stop on the IBM administration server. For authentication failures, check that the admin.passwd file, user and password, matches the IBM administration server properties. See Remote Web Server Management Properties panel of the web server for the user name and the password. For connection failures, check that the IBM administration server is running. You can also test access to the IBM administration server using a browser installed on the same machine as the deployment manager. Issue the request HTTP hostname :8008/WASADMIN. That is the URI that would be directed to perform IBM administration server requests. If you get an authentication prompt, then connectivity is not a problem. Please move to slide 35. For problems with generated the plugin config XML, check the timestamp in the target directory for the plugin config XML. See the deployment manager profile or the base application server profile. Check the file path, config, cells, cell name, nodes, web server node name, servers, and the web server name. If the timestamp is correct or current, that means that the generate completed. Please move to slide 36. If the plugin config XML has been updated but you're missing URIs, then the problem may be due to your application not being mapped to the target web server. The screenshot here is the panel Manage Modules for mapping web servers to applications. You get to this panel through the WebSphere Administration Console task, Applications, Enterprise Applications, click the application, then click Manage Modules. Please move to slide 37. In some cases, the plugin config XML propagation message at the WebSphere Administration Console may indicate that the propagation was successful, but the contents of the propagated plugin config XML is not as expected at the target web server. You may check the timestamp of the plugin config XML at the target web server to verify that propagation has completed. See the location, the plugin config install, config, web server name. If the timestamp has been updated, then the propagate has completed and the problem may be with generate. You should also check that the plugin file permissions allow Node Agent or IBM Administration Server to update the plugin config XML. Node Agent may not be running as root, or the IBM Administration Server child process may not have right access to the plugin config XML. Please move to slide 38. If a problem continues to exist, then it may be necessary to capture some traces and logs for level 2. The traces and logs necessary will be dependent on the type of node that the web server is defined. In this slide, I've listed the traces necessary for a debug of a web server administration request to a managed node. There are traces to enable on the deployment manager and traces to enable on the node agent. Please move to slide 39. In both the deployment manager and the node agent, the traces are set from the WebSphere administration console task, change log detail levels. After the traces are captured, we will need the following files for both the deployment manager and the node agent: trace.log, system.out, system error, and all FFDC files. Please move to slide 40. In the configuration in which the web server is defined on an unmanaged node, we will need traces for the deployment manager and log-level debug traces from the IBM administration server. This slide shows the deployment manager traces and the IBM administration server log-level debug. Please move to slide 41. The deployment manager traces are set as before from the web server administration console change log detail level. The IBM administration server directive log level is set to debug in the IBM administration server config file admin.com. After all the traces are captured, we'll need the following files for the deployment manager: trace.log, system out, system error, and any FFDC files. For the IBM administration server, the admin.com, admin error log, and the admin access log. Please move to slide 42. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide online resources for WebSphere products, and also some helpful debug of web server administration requests. Please move to slide 43. These are additional links as well. Please move to slide 44. This chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. I'll now turn the presentation back to David Long.
Thank you, Bob, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Rico, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we do have one in the queue. One moment. Let me grab the name. And our first question comes from the line of Ram. Your line is open, sir.
Okay. Good morning. It's Ram. Actually, when I'm trying to create a web server from the PCT tool, I never get a panel like IBM HTTP server authentication page to create a administrative server window services.
Okay. That may be a known problem with the PCT tool. Are you at actually GA version, or do you have a couple of 8.0 service packs applied?
Oh, I'm sorry?
Are you at GA? Is the PCT tool at GA? Have you not applied any service packs?
I applied patch 1, 2, 3, 4. I tried on 4 patches.
Okay.
Actually, I opened in PMR and the support center, level 3 support. So actually in the document, it's the panel is showing setup IBM HTTP server administration server, but I tried them in several ways. Even I didn't get that page. So that I created the Windows services manually using the HTTP cut.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. The problem may be that you're not a local administrative ID on Windows. You must be a local administrative ID. Is that possibly the problem?
Actually, I have I'm creating an administrator. Actually, I didn't get this local administrator.
But, yeah, it matters whether you're local or some kind of remote administrator. But you can open the PMR and we can work through it.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have another question joining. One moment as it joins the queue. And our next question comes from the line of Stephen with IBM in Canada. Your line is open, sir.
Hi. Thanks for this great presentation. I have a question on slides number 28. The last line says IBM HTTP server port must be less than 1024. Is that typo? I think it should be greater than, right?
Right. If you're non-root, it must be greater than 1024. Yes, that may be a typo.
Okay, thanks.
And at this time, we have no other questions in the queue.
All right. Thank you, Rico. There are a few questions in the group chat. The first one I see is, I have WASV 7.0 base with admin agent. Is the web server defined to a managed node or unmanaged node?
If it's base, it's an unmanaged node. Now, just a little, the reason why I mentioned if it's any kind of base, the version of the node displayed in the collection panel for the web server for base will actually show a version. But any node in a WebSphere base environment is unmanaged. Another check on that would be simply, if you have a node agent, if you can start a node agent on that node, then it's managed. But once I see the word base, the concept of node is really not used in a base environment, and that's why the input for creating a web server is usually the host name, the port, and the platform.
All right, thank you. Then the last question I'm seeing at this time, our IHS servers run multiple instances, each serving one URL. How does the admin server work in this topology?
Okay, that's a good question. It can work in either of two ways. You can set up the IBM administration server on that one single machine with multiple IBM HTTP servers, and it will administer all of the IBM HTTP servers on that machine. The reason why I mentioned the Unix domain socket is for a scenario where you could also choose to have a pairing of IBM HTTP server A with its associated administration server, IBM HTTP server B with its administration server, and obviously if you took all the defaults in the admin.com file, you'd have some conflicts because the Unix domain sockets would be shared. And they can't be shared. So the answer is you can set it up either way you'd like. If you'd like the one single IBM administration server and multiple web servers, you can do that, or you can set them up as pairs.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I don't see any other questions in the group chat.
Okay. David, I'll address that follow-up question.
Okay.
All right, the question was, does Unix domain sockets work on Linux? The Unix domain sockets is a Unix-only concern. In Windows, it's not a concern. It's not part of the design. So it applies to Linux, Solaris, AIX, HP.
Okay.
And there's another follow-up question, I guess.
Yes.
I can read it. What is the effect of setting up a web server definition without setting up the administration server? So basically, the strategic direction for generating and plugging config XML since 6.0 is with a web server definition. I mean, just for everyone's information, there used to be in 5.1 a global, I call it a global plugin config XML, where you generate a global config for the entire repository. the preferred way is to create a web server definition so that you can generate this plugin config XML on a per web server basis. You don't necessarily have to take advantage of the administrative functions, and you don't, I mean, if you have a web server on an unmanaged node, basically the only function you'll get out of defining the web server is the generating of the plugin. And that, I would say that's pretty much required. That's our strategic method of at least managing the plugin config XML. Whether or not you propagate it using the administrative requests, whether or not if it's IHS you start or stop, or any of those functions, it's optional.
All right. Thank you, Bob. There is one more question in the group chat, or two. Do you see those, Bob?
Yes. What port is needed between the deployment manager and IHS? There are two significant ports in administration of a web server. The first port relates only to status. It was an important point in the presentation that the administrator, the DMGR, the deployment manager with the administrative console, uses the actual listening port of the web server for status. So if that's incorrect, you won't be able to do start or stop. The second significant port is the IBM administration server itself. That's the port that's listening to get any kind of administration requests like propagate, start, or stop. And that's all in an unmanaged node. In a managed node, you have the node agent, and there is no real the port itself is already open or exists because there is normal communication between the deployment manager and the node agent. So that addresses the question of which port is needed. There's really two ports needed to do full administration, the administration server and the web server. Now, the next question is, what if the IBM HB servers are load balanced? That's kind of immaterial. The administration will act, the administration of a web server is independent of any IBM load balancers load balancing to IBM HB servers that are running. So if that helps.
Thank you. William has posted one more question.
Okay. In an unmanaged node, only the listening port of IHS is needed open in the firewall. In an unmanaged node, you do need two ports, okay, because you need to first communicate to the administration server. So you need to be able to issue that HTTP hostname 8008 request. That's done through the deployment manager MBean. The port for status needs to be open for the actual web server. Now, if there's a concern of opening up a well-known port such as 80, there are ways that you can define a port in the web server config file, but configure it in such a way that it's a dummy port, that it does not handle any requests. All the deployment manager requires is to be able to connect to that port. It doesn't even require it to be an HTTP port for the web server status. So I hope I didn't confuse, but if I confuse, you can send me an email and we can complete any of it. I think that should answer it.
Okay. I believe that does address the questions. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Bob, for presenting today.
Thank you.